Good morning, everybody. I love that video. To me, it is a living demonstration of the Lord's Prayer, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And one of the great working parts of God's Holy Spirit in our lives is the motivating factor of reaching out into our world. That as Christians, we don't just sit around and wait, but that we go into the world demonstrating the kingdom of God, and the Spirit helps us with this. Somebody once named the Holy Spirit as the neglected God, which is a pretty powerful statement when you stop and think about it. We know the Godhead is made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but it's often the Holy Spirit that takes a back seat, if you will, in understanding what the Holy Spirit is doing in our life, and we're just spending some time talking about that. A passage of scripture that we've been talking about almost every week is found in Romans chapter 8. I think it's around verse 16 where it says, the Holy Spirit testifies to our own spirit, talks to our own spirit, witnesses to our own spirit, that we are God's children, meaning that we belong to the family of God. He is a deposit. The Holy Spirit is a deposit, guaranteeing us of that. I just want to spend a couple of moments this morning on Canada Day looking at some real good things about what Scripture reminds us of the Holy Spirit doing in our life. One of the things that the Holy Spirit continually does is he reminds us of a guarantee. So as Barbie read this passage this morning in 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22, again, just a reminder of what is said. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us and set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. This is packed full of positive statements. In other words, maybe sometimes you've experienced purchasing a car and you go in and you test drive a car and you finally find the car that you want and you're gonna pick it up in a week or so. And maybe one day you're driving by and you see the car that's going to be yours. And even though you haven't got into that car yet, it's got sold on it. It's yours. You haven't got it all yet, but it's yours. One of the things that God does for us, whispers to us, the Holy Spirit whispers to us, sold. This is my child. Guaranteed. My ownership is all over this person. The Holy Spirit is reminding this person that we belong to God. There may be those that will doubt it. There may be those whispering thoughts that make us wonder if it's true. But I want you to know, God says, the Holy Spirit is constantly reminding us, whispering to our heart, speaking to our spirit life. We belong to God. He guarantees it. Not only does he guarantee it, guarantees more than that. And throughout the New Testament, Paul is reminding people of this guarantee. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 5, here's what he says. And he's been talking in this particular context, the latter part of chapter 4 and the beginning part of chapter 5, that even if we die, we belong to God. That the Holy Spirit indwells us while we live, and the Holy Spirit unites us with God even afterward. And then he says, now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now, do any of us know all of what's going to come in our life, in our afterlife? No, we know we're going to be with God. We know we're going to be reunited with our loved ones. Well, what else do we know? Not a lot. We don't know. In fact, we were talking about this in our Bible class this morning about the Apostle Paul, who he had an out-of-body experience, and he got up to the third heaven where God lives, and he saw things, incredible things. And then he says, but I'm not permitted to talk about it. I go, oh, come on. You saw God? You were there? You saw? You heard? Tell us a little bit. I'm not permitted to talk about it. But I want you to know, your inheritance is guaranteed. It's a marvelous passage of scripture. He says in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 5, he said, now it is God who made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And then one more passage in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, then he says, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of God's glory. Now, we have a number of teachers in our congregation, and one of the things that we know is a good teaching tool is repetition. Repetition. Maybe you can remember what it was like when you were younger and you were going to grade school and you had to learn your tables. Younger people may not know what that means. You had to know your tables, the 2 times, the 3 times, the 4 times, the 5 times. And the only way that you could do it is repeat, 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 repeat. Some of us who are older, we still forget some of those things sometimes. We've got to keep repeating it, repeating it. And one of the great teaching tools of Paul's writings is, I'm going to repeat this. This is so important. I'm going to repeat this. And when it comes to God's Holy Spirit, he says, I want you to know it's an absolute guarantee. Your salvation is an absolute guarantee. And there's going to be whispers that maybe that's not true. And the Holy Spirit is going to whisper to our heart and our own spirit, it is true. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing that there's even more to come than just the indwelling of God. That one day we will be with God, but we will also be with our loved ones again. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 is a scripture that we've used very, very often in this series. And it says, and if the Holy Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. So that one day when our body is lowered into the grave, we're going to be with God, but we're going to be with our loved ones again. It's a reminder that the Holy Spirit gives us this over and over and over again. Now, this morning, in just a couple of moments, we're going to be partaking of communion, the Lord's Supper. This is not new for many of us. Sometimes what can happen when it comes to something that is really sacred, which means set apart by God, we can sometimes lose the sacredness of it. But part of the sacrament is what the Holy Spirit is doing in our life, even when we take communion. At communion, we take the cracker, we take the juice, reminding us of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And we take this to say, it's Christ who lives inside of us. And it's a reminder that one day when it's our turn to go and be with God, that the Holy Spirit is actively engaged in all of this. Someone said, I'm not sure what you're saying. Remember Romans chapter 8 and verse 11? That it was the Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead. And so when we take communion, we remember his death. We remember also his resurrection. It was the Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead. And we as Christians believe that Christ was raised from the dead, and the Holy Spirit is a reminder of the guarantee that we have that we too will be raised from the dead. It's the Holy Spirit always whispering to us, reminding us, counseling us, guiding us that there isn't a moment in our day where the Holy Spirit is not at work in our life. And that's pretty amazing, that we walk around in these bodies, but there's part of God who walks around with us and in us. And sometimes we just forget. We just forget that God thinks that highly of every person whom he wants to indwell himself through God's Holy Spirit. And so there's more. There's always more. The Holy Spirit's always whispering more things to us, always helping us to understand more and more. And it's true that there's a scripture that is a little bit confusing with this about the afterlife and what it's going to be like. And I guess we don't know about that. But it's the reassurance that's going to happen to us and for us. In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 16, Paul uses language that's not the easiest to understand. But he's talking about the Spirit himself testifying with our own spirit that we are God's children. And that if we're his children, then we are heirs. We are heirs of God. And get this. And I can't. I just can't understand it. We are heirs of God. And we are co-heirs with Christ. What? You mean what Christ is receiving in the will of God, we get the same? Yep. We are co-heirs with Christ. Well, wait a minute. Part of the Godhead is Christ. Uh-huh. And part of the Godhead is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And you walk around with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Yep. And yet he lets us be individually unique. Yep. And he gives us our own decisions if we... Yep. How can God be so gracious and kind? He could have made us robots, but he doesn't. Every single person, individually unique, no one the same. And that's the glory of God. Now, Paul talks about this. And then in verse 17 of Romans 8, he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And then there's a lot more passages that go with that, but we're not going to read that just for time's sake. But it's this guarantee. So if we believe with all of our heart, and I think we all do, that God's Spirit lives in us, think of the guarantees that we have. Think of the future that we have. But until that future, the ultimate future comes, he says, now live as my representative here on this earth. Oh, and by the way, I'm not going to leave it just to you. God's Spirit will live in you, help you, and guide you, and counsel you. So it truly is unique in saying all this. But at the same time, I want us to know it's not as easy as sometimes we want to make it. And I think we all get this. Paul is very direct, as are all the New Testament writers and even some of the Old Testament writers, telling us, but there is a strong, negative, dark force in this world that's always at work in wanting us to pull away. And all we have to do is get up every morning and turn on the news and say, oh boy, there are dark forces in this world. And sometimes what people do to other people is not what the Holy Spirit would ever want. And we know that sometimes as individual people, sometimes we'll think things or say things, and we know that's not what the Holy Spirit wants. And so Paul reminds us of how to deal with this. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, Paul is pretty direct with this, and he says here, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. God's Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. But there are negative forces that want to drown that guarantee, that deposit, out of us. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, which happens often, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And then catch this. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How do we stand? We stand by taking the sword of the Spirit, with the helmet of the salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, we started this series saying that many, many years ago, and maybe it's true today too, that we often thought of the Godhead. We could recite it, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But what some of us, myself included, what that really meant to us was this: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scriptures. And that the Spirit doesn't really do anything anymore. But we know, based on everything that we've been reading so far, the Holy Spirit is very much alive and very much working in all of our lives. And I conclude today by reminding us of what Peter said about all of this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. He says this: above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of people, but people spoke from God as they were counseled or carried along by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that guided the writers of Scripture to write what they wrote. And as we read the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit, who is alive in us, who is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come, helps us to even understand the Scriptures so that we might be the people of God. Because we can read all the promises that the Holy Spirit is actively engaged in giving us on a daily basis, and all of that can go for naught if we forget about it and all of a sudden give ourselves to the dark forces of this world. And there are little bits and pieces of us that might do this on a daily basis or a weekly basis or a monthly basis, who knows? But it's the Spirit who's always, always guiding us back. And it's so wonderful that you and I can read the Scriptures to understand what the Holy Spirit is doing, and the Scriptures are telling us the Scriptures are not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helped people write the Scripture. They're together, unique, and always at work, but it's the Spirit who will help us and guide us through all of this. Isn't it great? Isn't it just marvelous? The blessings that we have of God, not just what He gives us, but He gives us Himself in the form of Father, in the form of Son, in the form of the Holy Spirit. And as we take communion, we partake of the the deposit, guaranteeing that there's even more to come. And then we take communion. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and they were all involved, and they, the Godhead, have chosen to come and live in our heart. And God's Spirit reminds us of this. Let's pray. Father God, we are so, so grateful, continually grateful, that you can open up our hearts to know more of you through your Holy Spirit. And as we partake of communion, we think of Christ, of course, his death, burial, and resurrection, but that he lives in us. And the Spirit reminds us of all of this, that we can picture the day that when Christ was raised from the dead, that it was the Spirit of God that raised him from the dead, and that we too have that same promise of life with you eternally. And until that day, may we continually be grateful for who the Spirit is in us, for what the Spirit continually does for us, and open our hearts to that love, and may we share that to each other and the world. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.